Take your Bibles this morning and turn over to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to try to take the opportunity this morning to preach a message that I've entitled Salvation. Salvation. I'd like to start off by saying this right here. What is salvation? When someone says the words, and we hear this all the time, are you saved? Have you been born again? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you saved? Are you saved? We hear that a lot. What do they mean? When someone asks you the question, are you saved? What does that mean? Saved from what? What are you saved from? Who's the Savior? Who made Him Savior? Why do I need one? I'm doing just fine. What do I need to be saved from? What are you saving me from? And who is this Savior? I want to take the opportunity this morning for something as simple as salvation. What is it? Who is it? And why? There's no other more important reason for us to gather together and to preach the gospel than to make the truth clear. The truth of God's Word. Savior. But we say gospel. We use the word gospel. The word gospel comes from two words. One meaning God and one meaning tell. Gospel. Some people say in the Greek that it can be broken down to God's truth or the good news, telling of good news. But this morning, I want to speak on salvation. I grew up in a Christian church. Calvary Baptist Church in Beaufort. I grew up in a Christian home. We heard these things all the time. When you heard them and you hear something all the time, it doesn't resign in your mind like it does when the Lord opens your eyes to the truth. Then all of a sudden, some words you know and hear and have heard your whole life start making a difference. I want to explain to you the best I can this morning by the help of God, the Holy Spirit, salvation. And the book of 1 John in chapter 5, if you'll take your Bibles, I believe it's very important that the congregation not just sit and listen to what the preacher says. The Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, He'll save those who will believe. That's my job. I'm the foolish preacher. But let me tell you something. If you have a Bible, you have a good King James 1611 Bible, you have the truth right in front of you. Read it with your own eyes and let the words go in your eyes, in your mind, and hopefully settle in your heart. Because this is an important issue. Now some of you are already saved. And you're probably, I hope you're not, saying, Brother Sam is just going to preach another salvation message. I hope you're saying, praise the Lord, Brother Sam's preaching another salvation message. What other reason do we need to be here for? If we aren't propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5. Please follow along in your Bibles if you have one. Verse 11 says this right here. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The first thing I want to say is, and the question I want to bring to your mind, is who is this Savior? If we're going to have salvation, we're going to have to know who our Savior is. We just read here in 1 John 5 that we said God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. That's the first thing I want to show you this morning, is that our salvation comes from God. And it's going to be done through this person, He says, is God's Son. This is very important. Because if you take this to be what it says, then you have to get rid of a lot of other religions. There is no salvation in Muhammad. According to the Scriptures, the record He says that we have and have been given, there is no salvation in anything else but Jesus Christ. He says His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's pretty simple. You either got it or you don't, but you're only going to have it through Jesus Christ. Salvation. Who's this Savior? Well, here in 1 John 5:11 we just read, it is the Son of God. Please take your Bibles and turn back a few books to the book of Acts. To the book of Acts, chapter 4. We just saw here that he called him the Son of God. And in Acts chapter 4, we'll start in verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have to go back to verse 10. Who's this name? He says, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now I'm reading to you what the Bible says. I want to make this simple and plain. Because let me tell you something. Salvation is simple. God made it simple so that a foolish preacher could preach the gospel. And those who would listen might believe what they're being told. And that faith would be accounted unto them for righteousness. But you have a Bible. Please read your Bible and follow along. The Bible says, by the witness of two shall everything be established. Don't allow just what I say. Read it.
have the witness of my voice, but have a second witness of the Scriptures being read in your own eyes, in your own language. The first thing we saw that was by the Son of God, and now we have a name for this Son of God. It says, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the Son of God. Take your Bibles and turn back just a few more books to 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy. And chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'd like to read to you the first six verses of 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 6. It says here, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness and honesty. Verse 3. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Wait a minute. I thought God's Son was the Savior. He says, God, our Savior. Now we're going to clear that up in just a second here. But I want you to pay notice, it's God. Our salvation comes by God. Verse 4. We just said, for this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. It is in God's plan. It is in God's desire for you and for every part of humanity that all men be saved. All. He says in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. I want to say this right here. You'll never be saved until you come to the knowledge of truth. What is this knowledge? Well, the first thing that we know is you're going to have to know who your Savior is if you're going to be saved. That's the first part of knowledge. Knowledge is not going to high school and getting a diploma. What we're talking about salvation. So don't get confused about your education being your salvation. We're talking about the knowledge of God. Verse 5. This is the truth. Here's the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I want to make this as clear and plain as I can. Jesus Christ is God's Son. He has been made the Savior by God. That Savior, I said, first of all, who is the Savior? That is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the Son of God. The second thing I want to bring up question about is why do you need a Savior? Why do you need to be saved? Just because I said so? Maybe the preacher got up and said you need to be saved. Your mother told you you need to be saved. Your daddy told you you need to be saved. Why do you need to be saved? What authority do I have to tell my kids that they need to be saved? Who am I? Who are you, Brother Mon, to tell your kids they need to be saved? By what authority? I want to make sure that my kids understand. I want to make sure your kids understand. I want to make sure you understand that your need of salvation is not by anyone else, but by the commandment given in the Scriptures. Amen. The authority comes from right here. This is the authority on why we need to be saved. Brother Sam? Show me! Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 3. I'm going to try my best to show you in the Scriptures why you need a Savior and why you need to be saved. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Says this right here. Now we know that what things whatsoever the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. I'm going to stop right there for just a second. I'm building a case on why you and I need a Savior. We know who He is. We covered that. That's going to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we know that salvation comes by God because God sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior. Now we're in Romans chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at why do I need a Savior? Why do I need one? First thing we read here is the Bible tells us that we were given the law so that all men would become guilty before God. And the verse 20 says here, it says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. That word, sin. Sin. That's a dirty word. Sin. What is sin? Anything we do, think, desire, outside the parameters that God gave us in the law is sin. We know some of the commandments. Now, most people know a few of the Ten Commandments. Not everybody knows all of them. But we know a few of them, like, thou shalt not kill, right? Because when you talk to people and say, sir or ma'am, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The first thing they say is, oh, I didn't kill nobody. I'm not a murderer. I don't steal people's stuff. Sin. Sin is what makes you guilty before God. Now, I'm not going to go over the entire list of sin. But I do want to mention a few. But we're going to continue reading in verse 21. Romans 3, verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference. For there is no difference. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, brother, that's my first reason I want to tell you why you need a Savior. You're all sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. None of us have righteousness before God. That's the first and biggest reason why we all need a Savior. Verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in His blood and declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Verse 26. I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
I want to say this right here. We just read the passage that makes every one of us guilty before God as a sinner. Now, I just took a blanket of sin and I just cast it on everybody. A pretty vague description. Sin. But let me tell you something. You and I all have a conscience that tells us what's right and wrong. We are raised, and our parents tell us, don't do this, do that, do this, don't do that. We go to church, and the Bible tells us a list of do's and don'ts. But we are given something extra that they weren't given in the Old Testament. The Bible says it's going to write in our heart, and our conscience is going to either excuse us or accuse us. We have a conscience.
You were not born because of monkeys. We covered evolution a couple Sundays ago.
We didn't come from evolution. You are a creation and a creature of God made in His likeness.
You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We need this justification of Jesus Christ. Number one reason why we need a Savior is we're sinners. Take your Bible, just turn over to just a page or two to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 says this right here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Now I just wanted to read that verse to you because I'm not there yet. But I'm building my case. I'm not quite to that verse yet. But I want you to take notice of verse 16 says,
it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You're going to have to believe something.
When we all die, when we stand before God, we're going to have something that we're going to declare that we believed in.
I'm trying my best to give you some Bible that you can put your faith in for your salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now I'm going to stop right there for a second. It says here in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And then he says in verse 20, the very end of the verse, so that they are without excuse.
I'm building a case against you. I'm building a case against me. We know who the Savior is. His name. We know His name. And now we see that we're guilty before God. Our sin is made us guilty before God.
But more than that, our now guilty, sinful state before God is now going to bring on, in verse 18 it says, the wrath of God. There's a judgment coming.
We aren't just sinners before God, and that's the way it is. But there is wrath of God coming upon us for being and staying in that sinful state.
I'm trying to give you some reasons why you need a Savior. Let's continue reading. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and were foolish, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which was against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Wait a minute. I'm starting to get a little bit more personal here. I first threw the blanket of sin over you to make you all guilty. But now I'm going to get a little bit more personal here. Now I'm starting to talk about unnatural affection, the lust of the flesh, the desires of our hearts, as lost men, sinful, unregenerate, rejected, and under the threat of the wrath of God, because we did not want to retain God in our knowledge. We don't like that. Why? Because that makes us guilty if we retain Him in our knowledge. But if we can get rid of them out of our mind, we don't have to think about it. He's talking about America. He's talking about us right now. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only in that do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now let me tell you something. That's a pretty detailed list. I think I pretty much covered everybody in this room, including myself. I fall in this list. You fall in this list. And you say, no, I don't. You're a liar. You are a liar because you say God is not telling the truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. You're not guilty of just sin. You're guilty of individual, personal things that you've done against your own conscience, against your own body, against your own knowledge of what you know is right. You want purpose, you desire them, you want them, you love them more than God. You're guilty. This is why you need a Savior. This is why I need a Savior. Please take your Bibles and turn back to the first book of John. 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show it unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now, for you, those who aren't familiar with the Scriptures, you're speaking of Jesus Christ. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, I love how the Scriptures just make it so plain. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard of Him. Who's He talking about? He said Him, He's speaking of Jesus Christ. And declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now I want to make something pretty clear. He says in the Scriptures that Jesus is the light, and in God is light. And if we say, and I'm going to say, if you say, I have fellowship with Jesus Christ, I have fellowship with God, and I walk not in the light, but I take pleasure to walk in the darkness, he says, I'm a liar. I'm just reading to you what the Bible says. This isn't Sam's version. This isn't Sam's theology. This is what the Bible says. If you don't like it, and you think this is too hard, and you think this is too rough, get upset at God. Verse 6. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hey, we just got a little bit of extra information here. We just said here, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that'd be God's Son, because He said in the first thing, the Son of God, so we're talking about Jesus Christ, His Son, it's His blood cleanses us from all sin. That's an important note to make. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, what does it say next? We deceive ourselves. Hey, I want to say this to you this morning. I know who the Savior is. I told you who the Savior is. It's Jesus Christ. I'm trying to tell you why you need a Savior. I'm trying to explain to you why you need a Savior. You know why you need a Savior? You're a sinner. Not only are you a sinner, you love sin. I'm not just a sinner because I was born and, oh, I'm part of the world, but I'm a sinner. And that's all I ever did wrong. No! I love sin! I love the pleasures of flesh! My flesh loves and enjoys those things! You are the same way! It might be music. Your music might be your God. Brother Clint said sports. Sports may be your God. You might love music more than you love God. You might love
You all have something standing between you and God. And this is why you need a Savior. This is why I need a Savior.
Sin. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Don't deny it. Don't deny it. But I like verse 9 and verse 10.
I want to make sure I cover verse 9 and verse 10 because that's the difference of what I used to be and what I am.
Verse 9 says in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say, and I want to say this, if you say that we have not sinned, you make Him a liar. And His word is not in you.
Now that's my reading. It says us. But I want to make it personal. You are a sinner. You are a sinner because you love sin, you want it, you can't get enough of it.
Don't tell me I'm a sinner because I was born. Adam sinned and therefore we're all in sin.
We're just born this way. No. That's a fact. What you're saying is true. But you love your sin, and the only reason you'll ever go to hell and the condemnation of God is because you love your sin more than you love Him.
Trying to show you something this morning. Who is the Savior? He's the Son of God. Why do you need a Savior? Because you're a sinner. That's why you need a Savior. I want to say this last of all. How do we get saved? How do I get saved? Brother Sam, you told me who the Savior was. And you made me guilty before God and the wrath of God. How do I get saved?
It's very simple.
Yet, the world has seen and the devil has seen and taken something so simple and made the most confusing thing on earth. I'm not going to tell you all the ways you don't get saved.
I just want to tell you one way. I'm going to tell you one way. I hope you can remember this.
Take your Bible, turn back to the book of Romans. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians in chapter 2. I want to tell you with the Scriptures and show you how can you and how can I be saved. If you take your Bible and turn to the second book of Thessalonians in chapter 2, we'll start in verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord hath shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, or them that perish. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. This is very important here. Through sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 14. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say in verse 13 he says here, God from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The only way into salvation that God has given us, He's given us a way to sanctification through Jesus Christ. He says He mentions the gospel here. But He mentions this right here, very important. Believe in the truth. It's what you believe. It's what you're putting your faith in that's going to save you. Turn over to the book of John. In John chapter 3. I'm sorry, John chapter 14. I want to give you the answer to how can I be saved. John chapter 14 and verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hey, who's saying this? This is Jesus Christ. He's the one saying this. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Verse 5 says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I want to give you the way. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me tell you what. The first thing is you're going to have belief. And you say, what do I have to believe, Brother Sam? Just believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And only. Not and do good works. Not and be a member of a church. Not and be baptized. Not and anything. But by me. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at verse 8 and 9. How can I be saved? Verse 8 says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So Brother Sam, what are you saying? I'm telling you something. God made a way. He gave His Son. And He said, this is the only way you're going to get this salvation. It's by nobody else but Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 makes it pretty clear that God gave us a way through Jesus Christ, and it was going to be grace through faith. Faith! Faith in what? Jesus Christ and the work He did. 1 Corinthians, I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, say this right here. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 2 says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. It's that simple. It's that simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and they come to the Father but by me. So we know there's only one way. And Paul said, I'm going to declare the gospel unto you. And that faith in gospel is that Jesus came and He died. He was buried. Rose again the third day for you and for me. That is what salvation is. Now it's up to you. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Have you put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the work He did on the cross? That's what saves you, and that's the only thing that'll save you. And it's also the only thing that'll keep you safe. I'm done. Please turn to the book of John, chapter 3. Most of you know these verses by heart, if not all of you. But I want you to take your Bible and I want you to look at it and I want you to read it with your own eyes. John chapter 3. And verse 15 says this, that whosoever believeth in Him, that'll be Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have eternal life. Now I'm going to stop right there for just a second. If there's eternal life to be had, there's eternal damnation to get away from. You're not, He's not offering you eternal life, and there's no other option. Why give you eternal life and have nothing on the other side? You're choosing eternal life over eternal damnation for your sin. You're guilty of your sin. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We know who that is. Jesus of Nazareth. That whosoever believeth in Jesus of Nazareth should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says this right here. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God's plan was not to send Jesus so He could condemn everybody. He already did that with the law. He sent Jesus Christ
to save everybody
that would believe.
What if you believe?
It's as simple as believing. I'm done. I do want to read one verse to you. Salvation is the saving of your lost, sinful condition before a holy and righteous God. That's what salvation is. It's by faith in the work that was done on the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross. He bled and suffered and died. He had to. It was the only acceptable sacrifice that God would accept.
But more than that, He was buried. And He rose from the grave. And when He rose from the grave, the Bible says that He went to heaven and He placed that blood that He shed on the cross. He placed that blood in the holiest of holies on that mercy seat, and the Bible says He sanctified all things in heaven and on earth. It is by His act of His blood that we can be saved. It's done for everybody. Everybody can be saved, y'all. Every person on the earth can be saved. But not all will be saved. Not everybody in this room will be saved.
You can be, but you won't be. Because you'll end up choosing the pleasures of sin for a season, or you'll choose another religion that doesn't demand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
And when you take your last breath, and when your soul departs your body, and it goes to meet its maker, you'll find it. But I'm here, I'm trying to tell you today, salvation is Jesus Christ crucified.
The price has been paid. The debt, Brother Clint sang about it. The debt's been paid. Put it on His account. Let Him take the guiltiness. He's offering to give, let you do it. I just want to ask a couple questions. And I want you to answer them in your own mind and in your own heart.
I'm not asking anybody to raise your hand. I'm not asking anybody to say anything. I'm just asking you a question. I want you to answer it inside your own heart and in your own mind.
Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you personally asked Jesus Christ to save you? I want to read this verse and I'm done. And Sister Carrie will come get ready to play a song of invitation. I want to read this verse right here. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, it is the faith, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. Verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. He's talking about Abraham here. According to all, to that which he's spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19 says, and this is talking about Abraham. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. This is what I want to say. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but it was for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that hath raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for offense, our offense, and was raised for our justification. God chose grace. God chose grace to save every person who would believe. The gospel is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to earth and he died and he was buried and he rose again for my justification and yours. He is the sacrifice that God chose. That's the gospel. I want to say this right here. Don't be confused about salvation. Don't be confused about what it is and what it is not. If you have it or not, it's very clear. Salvation can only come from one person, and that's the man Christ Jesus. But it was done by God. God sent Jesus. Salvation comes from God. Secondly, by what he did. Salvation comes through the blood, what was done on the cross. And God said he chose that way. God chose grace. I'm going to have grace, and I'll kill Jesus. I'll make him suffer for their sin. I'll accept the price of the blood of Jesus for all of you men. We aren't worthy. There's nothing we can do but believe. He says, I choose grace and faith. Your faith. Question this morning to you, Father, today. Do you know salvation and what it is? Do you have it? If not, you know what it is. You know where you can find it. All you have to do is ask the Lord to save you. Y'all, please stand for prayer.